Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, the Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm here. What's going on?
Just podcasts. You?
Just podcasts?
That's all I do. All day, every day.
Oh, yeah. How are you feeling about that?
I record several, but I only release the one. So you can imagine how good the other ones are.
Worse?
No, they're much better. But they're just for me.
Oh, is this like a Prince's Vault situation?
Exactly.
Where he recorded many albums and videos and stuff that never saw the
that's
light
right.
of day.
That's how I spend my days.
Have you heard Kevin Smith's Prince story?
I'm
sure you have, right?
Yeah, where he went and filmed a documentary for him for free
Prince had seen Dogma, his movie Dogma, and he was about to release an album that covered, according to Prince, similar themes of like religion and whatever. And then he invited Kevin Smith to film like a listening party with all these super fans and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it was like this absolute nightmare for Kevin Smith. And at one point he ran out of film because this was in like the film days, but he's just like faking still filming this thing. And then at the end he's handing over all the films and he asked one of Prince's handlers, he's like, when's this going to come out? And they're like, it's never going to come out. It's just for Prince. That's what's happening here, is you're doing this for Prince.
For free.
Maybe they paid him. I don't know.
I don't think he did, according to the story. Anyway, he's dead, so we can't speak ill of him.
That's true.
So for all parties involved, apparently very happy with the outcome.
That's right.
Yeah. Speaking of all parties involved being very happy with the outcome, Mason.
Yes.
There was a recent live show we were a part of.
All parties very happy with the outcome.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Except for some audience members, I assume. You know, people who drag their partners who don't understand.
Oh, my God.
Going
there was a couple in the front row, I think.
My fave. Some of my faves. So it was...
Well, I would recommend that. If you come into a live show, one of anyone, really,
yeah,
and you've got a partner who's absolutely not interested... Sit in the front, I reckon.
In the front, yeah, exactly. Mm. So it was Sandspants organised. It was fundraiser. It was Sandspants v Planet Broadcasting.
Yep.
All the greats were there. Not all the greats, but a lot of the greats were there. All the greats were there.
And we wouldn't let them on. We wanted to go on stage instead.
That's right.
The greats? No, that's not who we're interested in having on board.
And the good thing is there was, last I saw, it was $3,000 raised for tickets sold.
That's pretty great. Appeal,
but it's also, you can actually donate to it. I'll link it below. The live show is there. You can just watch it.
Oh, it's on a stream, right?
It is. Twitch-based stream? Sandspan's Facebook page.
Cool.
But look, if you could chip in some bucks for the bushfire relief, yes, a lot of the fires are under control, but there is obviously massive blowback, like in the animal kingdom and other kingdoms. Mm. The kingdom of Australia.
The kingdom of Amalur. That's an RPG.
Yes, apparently it's very good.
I've heard that too.
It won't be getting a sequel.
Yep.
But that's the world we live in, isn't it?
That's right.
Bushfires and video game cancellations.
My God, we're in the worst possible timeline.
I like it.
There's a lot of show as well. We did,
for
people interested, if this will give you a little tease, it was a Plumbing the Death Star show to start off with. It was us and the Plumbing the Death Star boys. We were discussing what MCU movie we could seamlessly insert ourselves into.
Yes.
With, I think, hilarious results.
Hilarious
and rude results.
Oh, my goodness.
Very rude. And then we had a little break, and then... Dave Warnicky from Do Go On and Jackson from Sans Pants, they ran a game show.
Yes.
That was the folks from Sans Pants versus myself, Jess Perkins, Matt Stewart, and Claire
mm-hmm.
from Suggestible Podcast.
That's right. And being my wife.
Your wife in your life. And we had like a family feud style game show.
We did.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was really fun. It was fun for me because I didn't have to be in that one.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
I'm going to sit this one.
You sat at side of stage and heckled.
I did. Not as much as I could have, mind
you. That's true, yeah. Yeah.
But that was really fun.
I feel that was not for want of trying, just because there was just so many people on stage yelling into microphones.
That's right.
You couldn't really get a word in edgeways.
But I thought it was handled, balanced really well.
I think so too.
Those guys did a really good job hosting that. Everyone did a good job.
Thank you, everybody in the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook page, who I believe were the survey respondents for all the answers in the Family Feud situation.
Yeah.
So you're the family out there, listeners.
And we're the feud?
Yeah, we're the feud.
Or food. It's called Family Feud in this situation because of copyright reasons, legally. Grant Daniel will break all our legs. He owns that, right? Even though it was an Australian version of that show and he no longer hosts it because it was cancelled?
Yeah, he still owns it.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Excellent. It's news time, Mason. Big news this week. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to talk about Jurassic World, Westworld, Batman news.
Batman News World.
That's right. Big shift in DC Comics, and then we've got some controversial comic stuff to talk about. How's that? I'm working that into the intro. Bit of sizzle.
Oh, that's good. I like
time it. You didn't like it last week. What's changed?
I didn't see any examples last week. Okay. You could have given me a fresh shot at it. You know, you could have explained.
A free-flowing lift?
Yeah, free-flowing lift.
Great.
Thank you. That's all I ask for.
Time codes, as always, are in the description if you do want to jump around. Jurassic World 3 news. Chris Pratt has said it's going to feel very much like how Endgame brought everything together for Marvel. So you know how there was one and maybe a half good Jurassic Park World movies?
I remember that, yeah.
Or in general movies. Which ones of those do you like? Go. Bear in mind, I know you haven't seen 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've had this discussion.
Just
I feel
a quick update,
they're all
Mason.
Approximately
it's
equal.
In the time codes, people want to skip ahead.
In my opinion, every movie with Jurassic in the title is approximately equal in
but
quality.
But people are going to write in and say, like, what about Jurassic Velocipasta or whatever, all those ones that come out? Or what about like, Jurassic
what
Dinosaur
about,
Space Attack?
What about Cretaceous World? Doesn't have Jurassic in the title, does it? They're all on the same page as far as I'm
Well, you seem like a bit of a Jurassic snark, if you don't mind me saying so, Mason.
I don't mind you saying so because that's a delightful turn of phrase.
Thank you. So, I'm like a
velociraptor at like a hair salon and I've got the big hairdryer on my head and I'm getting my nails done and I'm like, didn't like that laugh. Oh, I don't think Jurassic Park's as good as everyone says it is. I'm drinking a white wine. I'm getting real saucy.
It's the middle of the day, but you don't mind. You don't go to work.
I got nothing to do. I'm just here for snark.
So what I think.
Oh, not as a clever girl as everyone says.
So what I think he really means by this is like the original cast is back. Because it's Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum.
Right, okay.
Who have also popped up in various other Jurassic movies along the way. Mm-hmm. So, and then they're all going to line up and punch all the dinosaurs, I assume.
Do you feel like there is going to be a massive disconnect between the Jeff Goldblum of Jurassic Park and Jeff Goldblum who exists now, who's a massive goofball? You think
well, he's a bit of a goofball in the first one.
Yeah.
He takes a serious turn in two because he's very much the one who's like, I fucking hate this island of dinosaurs.
Why are we back at
this
island?
Why am I doing this? And then, of course, he's in the last one.
He's in the last one. He's just kind of being stern with a beard in the last one. So I don't know. I feel like his public persona has shifted from, I mean, people are still like, ooh, you know, Jeff Goldblum, pretty sexy or whatever. Mm. But it's sexy in like a big glasses kind of like.
A garish shirt.
Yeah, that kind of vibe. Like he's kind of a goofy jazz man now. He isn't like a sexy open shirt guy
That's
anymore.
That's exactly right.
I think people are going to be like,
what's going on here?
I'm okay with
this. I think he can pull it off. He was in that new Independence Day and he pretty much did. He can slip back into that.
Well, he can certainly try. I'm Jurassic Snark again.
You're on the sauce too early. Yeah, I don't like it.
It's always happy hour somewhere.
So, okay. I don't think we're going to get
so
it.
So it's going
to I don't think they're consistently good enough to be like, wow, this payoff is really like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because I think they're, like the first one's really good and then they're kind of up and down. And like within movies.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like I like The Lost World a lot in parts, and other parts I'm like, geez, this is
right.
Rough. Yeah,
but it'll be a mixing of the old crew and the new crew.
Exactly.
So is there anybody you'd want to see
from the original?
Yeah, or like any of the original ones that you like? I wish that guy got a
I
shot.
Wish the actor who played Muldoon could come back,
but he was
he was mauled to death by in the.
Do we
the,
see him get mauled to
well,
death?
Well, yes, and also he's dead in real life. So,
oh no,
yeah, maybe Nedry made it out.
Yeah, it's true.
He didn't. But
are you sure?
Yeah, he was mauled to death. He was in that car. He was mauled to death.
All right, but how about this?
And they never, I think...
Bring him back as some sort of virtual reality assistant.
Oh, like a little 90s yeah. GIF?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, of course, and Wong will be back.
BD Wong, fine. So yeah. Maybe they'll, yeah, maybe somebody will finally suck him in the jaw for being evil.
That's finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that guy. Did you see The Matrix on set? Do you got more Jurassic Park thoughts?
Yeah, maybe I do. I don't know. Where do you think the plot's going to go this time around?
Well, they're in the world.
They're in the world. That's true. It's a true Jurassic world.
Yeah. You on board?
Yeah.
Looks like your Jurassic Bark is not as bad as your bite, Mason. Or the other way around. Is that right?
Well, you would say that because you're a dumb bitch.
Hey, you got to get off the sauce, man.
I won't.
You're not making this easy for me.
Sorry.
The Matrix. Did you see it was filming?
Oh, I saw like a tiny clip. I saw a clip that was so short that it could be probably compressed down to a GIF.
Sure.
It was like a real stunt.
Yes.
It was two people leaping off a building. They're all wired up.
And there was the other bit of Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss. He's got his John Wick hair happening. And they're on a motorbike together. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that
they're
one.
They're back, Mason.
Oh.
And what are
they
up to?
All in Matrix-style outfits?
They seem to be that way.
Huh.
Yeah, who's to say what's going on
in this?
Yeah, have a quick gander. Have a look-see.
I will.
That's currently filming. Not in Australia, that one, like the other ones. Mm. But as we've talked about before, I saw a rumour that they're set in the real world or something
in
the Matrix movies within... Because, of course, both of those characters died at the end of three.
That is true,
or at the very least, Carrie-Anne Moss's character died. But also, you could also bring that character back as like an avatar or a 90s GIF.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Going,
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know what I mean?
And, of course, if we're going by the Matrix Online rules.
I am.
Maybe they're still alive.
Is that what happened in that game?
I can't remember. Something about their essences were like scattered across the world and blah, blah, blah. And if you get them back together, they come back to life.
You can kiss them.
Yeah, you can kiss them. Oh, I see. Yeah, they're looking Matrixy, aren't they? Mm. I mean, not that Matrixy. It does look more like Carrie-Anne Moss is just giving Keanu Reeves, you know, regular Keanu Reeves like a lift somewhere.
They're going to get some coffee or something.
Yeah, yeah,
what kind of bike is that? Is that a white bike?
No, I think that's just the lighting.
Oh, it's a silver bike.
Yes. It's a silver bike, yes.
I just caught
it. They look less...
Matrixy?
They certainly look less Matrixy, which might lend credence to the idea that it's a...
They're going to
some sort of fan convention involving the original Matrix movies, but on a motorcycle for some reason.
And they don't want
to
do it.
Or maybe they're going to the convention and they're interrupted by agents in the real world and they've got to get on a motorbike and go do Matrix stuff.
Would you be upset if this movie was like, the actor Keanu Reeves is actually Neo from the whatever? Like, he's like, but these are just movies I was in. That's my Keanu Reeves. It's kind of a Bernie Sanders Keanu Reeves.
He's also been punched really hard in the solar plexus. Hey, come back here.
I can't make this jump. I'm out of breath.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder what level of...
I don't want that.
Yeah, no.
Anything could work.
What level of metafiction we're going to get?
Metafiction.
I don't know.
Very good, yeah. Here's a question for you.
Yes.
Westworld season 3 trailer, best world or worst world?
What do we got? Kind of like the best world.
Mm.
For some, probably for the rich, less so than the poor.
You know what I mean?
But we don't really see the poor.
And good.
It looks good, yes.
No, I mean, it's good that we don't see the poor.
Yes.
I don't want them gumming up my TV shows with their filthy rag clothes.
That's right. Only rich, sexy people, in my opinion. This one seems to be set almost exclusively in the real world.
Which to me is
Some spoilers for Westworld if you don't want to know about the previous seasons of Westworld.
Yes.
Which I enjoyed, both of those. This feels like it's going to be a
future world.
Well, it's definitely a future world.
Because, you know, there's the movies Westworld.
And Future World.
Future World.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Does this feel like a final season trailer for you? Well, I mean, they could make anything look like that.
There seems to be Westworld replicant robots going up against each other. It's like there's no tomorrow. Obviously.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. And Aaron Paul in this seems to be confirmed as some sort of Westworld replicant man.
Isn't he like a man on the street man?
Maybe.
I don't know. I didn't really... I didn't delve into it. I just watched it and went, good.
Okay.
There's a Big Mac... There's a robot without its skin. Okay, yeah. I got it.
I feel like the trailer seemed to suggest Dolores and Aaron Paul's character seem to have a conversation which suggests that he's an artificial man who's being used in some sort of context.
I thought that was kind of like, well, me and you are the same because we're both slaves to the system.
Okay, well, in what way is he a slave?
Because he's like a construction worker or whatever. He's fallen off buildings. You know, they used to fall off buildings all the time or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
In old construction.
Oh, was he one of those men in the iconic... That Goethe, that black and white Goethe photo, and he's sitting on that.
It's like, yum, 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 delicious lunch, though.
I'm just Joe Lunchpail over here.
Exactly.
But he's not. Mm. He's Joe Replicant.
That's right. That's 15th of March, I believe that's back.
That's very soon.
I'm going to put up a poll soon on Patreon for Caravan of Garbage for what people want to see for Westworld, like a season one, the movie. Mm. There was a revival show. And or we could even like the original Magnificent Seven, which the Yul Brynner character is.
Oh, he's based on,
is
right?
Based on. What's because it's the same guy, isn't it? It looks the same.
Yes, it's true.
This one's a robot man.
Yeah. Physically based almost exclusively on that guy.
That's right, Mason.
Yeah. Anyway, in this, it's all coming to a head in a way that I do not understand, nor will I understand because I've forgotten what happens in most of the previous seasons.
I'm sure they'll do a quick recap to get you up to speed.
But Tessa Thompson's got a Big Mac.
That's good.
Like, how's she going to handle all this situation? Big Mac, the biggest mech we've seen, I think.
How would you handle it?
Probably a Big Mac.
If you had access to a Big Mac.
Yeah, probably I'd use the Big Mac.
Cool. Yeah, too. Even if it was like a little thing, like filing your tax return.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, just
a Big Mac with a 2B pencil.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, great. And this is where we hit the Batman news of the show, Mason.
Oh, yeah, big Batman news.
First off.
Would you say too much Batman news?
Well, we're not doing the big Batman news immediately because Ben Affleck was talking about his Batman news.
Oh, I did see that, why he left. Yeah.
Because he had this very candid interview, which I did not read through, but
the highlights were released on Twitter.
Exactly. He said that he showed somebody the Batman script, and they said, I think the script is good. I also think you'll drink yourself to death if you go through what you just went through again.
Yeah.
So presumably talking about his run on Batman v Superman and Justice League and Live by Night and his alcoholism.
Many years. Yeah.
Exactly. And obviously he had family problems, you're getting divorced and you got that back tattoo and et cetera and so forth.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. Which that article apparently covers. Mm-hmm. So it seems like if he wasn't booted from the project, which is also entirely possible, or they came to a realization that it wasn't the direction they went, it seems like it's in everybody's best interest.
100%.
Particularly
yeah.
him. To yeah, Why yeah. would you do it? You yeah, don't need to do it. Right? If he doesn't want to do it, I'm glad he didn't do it.
Do you think even if in the most ideal of circumstances, do you think he would have enjoyed his time on the DCEU?
I don't know, because even if those movies were super well received,
yep.
which they weren't particularly, though some people would argue that that's not true.
Oh my God. Look, in the interest of disclosure, we released a video this week.
Yes.
It was about the best Batman suits in media, the best bat suits.
And we certainly missed some.
Oh yeah.
And we mentioned that.
Yeah, right. But we did make the mistake of mentioning the movie Batman v Superman. We thought...
It's 4 years out.
Nobody cares anymore, but people still care
about
our opinions on that or our wrong opinions on that movie. So,
as they would say,
yeah,
people demanding we justify our opinions. Mm. No,
we won't. I refuse to.
Not again.
No.
Yeah.
Buy the episode on vinyl.
Exactly. You can have it in your house.
That's right.
For free.
Yeah.
For money.
For lots of money.
When we release it, which we probably won't.
Probably won't.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think I'd be interested to read his script, but... You know, he's doing it. He's got this new movie out where he's a sports coach and he's an alcoholic or whatever, which I think is something that seems very cathartic for him. So, yeah, good. Yeah. Go in that direction. Then
slam dunk, parentheses. But not the booze. That's what the movie's called.
Do you slam dunk booze?
Yeah.
You slam it. I wouldn't say you slam dunk
it. He slam dunks it. That's his whole bit in the movie. He's just like, time for a slam dunk.
Of booze.
And then he's sad.
I don't know if I like that.
But then at the end, everybody's chanting. Slam dunk, but not the booze. Slam dunk, but not the booze.
Well, they were saying slam dunk the booze, but he won't do it. He'll walk away.
There's two distinct groups.
Okay, right. Yeah.
In the stadium.
And his kid's on one side, and his kid's like, don't do it.
One of his kids on one side, one of his kids on the other side.
Oh, he's got an evil kid.
He's got an evil kid. Well, but just misunderstood.
Evil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
okay, this slam dunk, but not the booze sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
Off the back of that, we also got our...
Oh, to be clear, spoilers, he just slam dunks the booze.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it's a bad ending.
I don't like that.
Because he's been lured by the evil kid.
The evil kid's probably the cooler kid, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really cool. Yeah. That's the thing, yeah. He's smoking indoors.
That is cool. Especially now. You can't really get away with that.
Right?
Yeah.
But you can if you're wearing cool sunglasses.
Or you're in Europe, which this movie is set.
Set in Europe, yes, exactly, yeah.
So... Anyways, look forward
to... Sorry, it's called Slam Dunk, but not LaBooze.
I was going to say, look forward to Slam Dunk, but not LaBooze.
Who else is in that? Somebody else. Doesn't matter.
And Hathaway, I want to say. Or that might be that Netflix thing he's doing at the moment. There's another thing, yeah. Anyway, we got our first official and clear, not official, but clear look at Robat Battenbat's Batman suit. I think this is a...
Stuntman suit?
Well, this is a stuntman suit, but I also think it's his... fursuit.
It's his proto suit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, who knows? I don't know.
Okay.
And he's on a motorbike.
Yep.
It's got two big jagged bits at the top that if he broke really suddenly, it'd impale him.
Uh-huh.
And that's really cool.
So we saw, so this was some, is this leaked footage or is this?
I think it's just
production
just
footage.
Filmed it.
Okay, right, right.
When it was happening.
Okay.
I think the reason they showed the suit because they knew they were doing this and they're like, well, this is going to get out anyway.
Oh, so yeah, for sure. Uh-huh.
You know as well.
So it's got, this one appears to have some sort of inbuilt dark glass goggles in the cowl.
Yes.
I don't know if that's part of the suit in the movie or it's just they've just added it in because it's a stunt driver doing a motorcycle thing.
Because they could light up or something in the thing.
Ooh.
Or they take the eyes off and whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
Like they CGI it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't. Yeah, it's a stunt suit probably and it's,
yeah.
I don't love it, but like they'll probably CGI a cape on it and
we'll see.
Or,
that's exactly
or even CGI
it.
The whole thing. We just don't really know.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, people have thus far been critical of a number of things about it, including the ears.
Yeah.
But they can change the ears.
Yeah.
They can change the ears in every frame of the movie if they want to.
They changed Shazam's boots.
Oh.
He had different boots in the filming, and then they just CGI'd the boots completely differently.
Huh.
So yeah, so it kind of looks motocrossy and like it's the padding and all that, and it's I don't know. People are saying it's kind of Daredevil-esque, which I don't disagree.
Some people
with
are saying it's Krusty Demon-esque.
Oh my god, remember the Krusty Demons?
That's why I said it.
I bet
yes.
they're still out there, aren't they?
100%, they're still out there.
It's good to hear.
Yeah, he may be you know motorcycling without the cape. Maybe he's lost the cape in a previous scene.
Mm.
But you're right. Maybe they add the cape and CG.
Yeah, CG capes all day now.
Also, the bike does fall over.
Yes,
it's just that is how the video ends. Just this is a real Daniel Craig as Bond. Oh, not so much Daniel Craig's Bond moment where he was, you know, they put him on the boat and he had to wear a little life jacket. And they're like, oh, Bond, look at this guy. But I think the press seem to be taking this a little better.
Yeah.
Because it's not Robert Pattinson in the suit.
No, exactly. Oh, imagine if it was him. Oh, my God, he'd never hear the end of it.
Right.
But, no, I think, you know, I'm still intrigued by this. The rumors are still of, like, year one, year two-ish long Halloween, et cetera.
Yeah, right.
There's Selena Kyle also seems to be on a bike next to him. But it's not a very Batman-y bike. It just looks like a
Regular bike, but again.
But I don't think they'll change it, but I still think this is early day stuff. And even if they don't change it in this movie...
You mean early day stuff in the narrative?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And like you'll be like, I need a better suit to fight this whatever I'm doing today.
Exactly.
Yeah. What have I got? Something else.
Giant robot suit.
Yeah. Imagine being this to giant
robot. Got a jetpack.
Yeah, jetpack.
Gives me all the powers of Superman.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good, right?
Great. I'd love to talk more about this, but I don't really...
We don't have any more information. I saw a little... short documentary. It was interviewing Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson about The Lighthouse.
Mm.
It was very fun. Apparently, they would ask for direction from, is it David Eggers? Is he the director of that movie?
Yes,
I think it is.
Say.
They'd be like, Robert Pattinson, but I think Willem Dafoe just rolls with anything.
Yeah.
But Robert Pattinson was kind of like, is any of this actually happening? Like, am I...
Robert Eggers, you said that right?
Yes, I said David Eggers, I think.
Well, then we would have got letters.
Eggers, that. I should have said Senor Eggers.
You're correct.
Mr. Eggers. And you know, he's asking questions like, okay, is my character and Willem Dafoe's character having, you know, different interpretations of what's going on? Is it all in my mind? And he's like, just whatever you want. So it seems like all three of them, the two main characters in that movie and the director, all probably have a different interpretation of what that movie
Whether
is.
Whether or not there was really a squid in that lighthouse.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I did see it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Grim.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Black and white.
Oh, yes.
Boozy.
Yeah. Carousing.
Yeah, it's a bit boozy.
Hijinks.
Yeah. You really feel like the drunkenness and the hungoverness.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah,
it feels
like
when you're watching it that you've woken up hungover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just this sense of like their absolute solace there. Like there's just being on this island with no one else and the other person's a lunatic.
Yeah.
What's your life now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ugh, no good.
It's a good movie though.
Oh yeah.
And apparently it's all like all the dialogue is based off real dialogue, old timey dialogue of like from ship's journals and,
oh, really?
And
okay.
ledgers and diaries and things like that. So it's all,
yeah, right.
It's not just...
It's just not just whatever.
It's just insane man chat, but it's all kind of...
It's kind of that though, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. I mean, I'm sure all the people writing those journals were insane.
Yeah, you could follow it though. It's not... Anyway, that's been our review of The Lighthouse.
It came out many months ago.
Yeah, but it's good. It's probably streaming now.
Yeah.
Big DC new shakeup, and this is going to lead into our topic, which is a Patreon suggestion. Dan DiDio, which may be how you pronounce his name.
I've always said Didio, but Didio? I'm probably not.
Well, look, one of us is right. Dan, if you could.
There's every chance that both of us are wrong, though.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a closer to 90% chance we're both wrong.
Yeah, so he took on one of the head DC roles with, I believe, Jim Lee in 2010, responsible for events like the New 52 and then the counseling of the New 52.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
As rumor has it that the higher ups from Warner Brothers, because of the result of the high staff turnover of late, because looking to the list of creators who have left, it's pretty massive. And issues with editorial and publishing plans, he's been pointed to as the man responsible. Bleeding Cool, the website, has said he was fired for fostering a poor work environment. And one of the aspect of, and I did not know about this at all, but there's this much rumored 5G comic run coming
Terrible
out.
Name.
No, it's perfect.
It's bad.
Because of internet, Mason.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah.
They'd have to change it because they might be called Generation 5.
Okay. And
so just... this probably won't happen, or at least in this form. This was the rumor of it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a rumor, which would be seen as DC's major, which would see DC's major figures like Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent, Diana, and they age out of the roles of Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman as part of a new DC timeline. So their original stories would have still taken place.
Okay.
So Superman would be from the 30s and
forth
or whatever. So that's apparently the idea. So then I guess you're going Damian Wayne and then beyond, presumably.
Well, that's interesting because after 80 years of these 80 plus years of these characters, that is essentially what Earth 2 was in the 50s through to the 80s. It was this parallel universe. In the DC Comics continuity, there was Earth 1, which was the modern day, like as if Batman and Superman and those characters had started fighting crime just quite recently.
Yeah.
And they were like, but we'll have our cake and eat it too. We'll have an Earth 2 in which those characters started fighting crime when they were first published in like the 30s and 40s.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And so if you wanted to read a story about Batman and Superman in their prime, you'd read a Earth 1 book.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to be like, well, what if Batman got married to Catwoman and they had a kid? You could read an Earth 2 book kind of thing. But then they cancelled that because it was too complicated. And then
is that when Crisis smushed everything together?
That was Crisis on Infinite Earths. They were like, this is too difficult. And now there's literally Infinite Earths. That's too many Earths. So they got rid of all of that.
All the Earths.
And then...
even Earth 2?
And so now we're back. That was gone.
Gone.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's back apparently.
Maybe. Well,
this is not even a new idea. Don't sell it to me like it's a new idea. They should say, brackets, like it was it prior to the 80s.
Well, I guess the idea behind this would be, it'd be odd that... you're suddenly speeding up the current timeline. Superman's 80 or older.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden. Batman's been dead for 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. I just think that's...
he got punched really hard.
I think it would be interesting if... and they probably wouldn't do it this way. If you age them up from now in relative real time.
Oh,
and slowly
sure.
Built
yeah,
in
yeah,
new
yeah.
characters over 10 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. But just to be like, Superman's not Superman anymore all of a sudden, I think there is a good idea in aging out characters and introducing new versions. I like now that they seem to have actually stuck with Superman having a son now. Like,
yeah,
is that something
right, exactly.
If he's had multiple versions of multiple sons
and
over the decades.
And they're all erased from existence. Yeah.
So anyway, internally also, Scott Snyder, who you might know, he's...
not personally.
Well, you know him. You've met him personally. He's a good friend of yours.
That's true.
Apparently, Dan DiDio backed him on Dark Mirror. Is it called Dark Mirror? It's his first comic where Dick Grayson is Batman and he's...
oh, yeah.
It's a really good comic if you haven't read it, if it's called that, which it might not be anymore. I have it. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't remember. So he kind of said that, you know, but it was apparently, though, that even though these guys, these guys clashed a lot and what was planned with 5G, and he wanted his Dark Knight metal,
yes.
He wanted that separate from what's going on here.
Okay.
And apparently this 5G event is still launching in October.
Okay.
But we don't really know in what shape or form. And it seems like Jim Lee is now the one in charge.
Pog form?
Yeah. Pog form.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people kind of cheering on the exit of this guy. And there's certainly things in here which he's done that I don't like or agree with. But in his run... there's been some pretty standout stuff that he has greenlit.
For example, he was the season 3 story editor of the animated TV series Reboot.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's real. That happened, did it?
Yep, did.
When did that show come out?
1997.
Oh, I thought you meant the Reboot.
No.
I'm talking about in the current run.
Oh, I don't know.
I hate that show.
No, you don't.
They're always stuck in a mainframe, and one of the characters was maybe called Mainframe, probably.
Just like us.
Just like us. Mm-hmm. So, but with all this talk of internal stuff, there was a few creatives, and I've taken two of them who commented on him and leaving. Gail Simone, who's famous comic
Batgirl
creator.
And Secret Six and all sorts of stuff,
She said, so Bleeding Cool is reporting that Dan is no longer affiliated with DC Comics. I liked Dan very much. We disagreed a lot, but he did a lot. But he did a lot that others took credit for. And when things went bad, he often took the blame he didn't deserve. I wish him every success. And even Scott Snyder has said, Dan is one of the most passionate people I know when it comes to this medium. He loves comics with every fiber. He's also...
If he loves comic books so much, why doesn't he marry them?
Jurassic Snark is back, everybody. It's our recurring segment.
clink, clink, clink.
So he backed me on Black Mirror. There we go. That's what it was called. Oh, okay, I think I said
Dark Mirror.
Yeah. Because Black Mirror doesn't sound right, because it's another
thing.
When others didn't want it to happen, then Court of Owls, American Vampire. We had some nuclear fights over the years, sure, but above all, after a decade of working with him, all I feel is gratitude to Dan for his support and friendship, and DC will be very different without him. So, yeah, it seems like some people believe that he's taken the brunt for these things that happens, and
As
with all creative decisions, obviously there's people who hate it and love it and whatever.
Yeah, right.
But I still think these last 10 years of DC, there's been some pretty iconic stuff that has occurred under his watch.
Yes.
So I, again, even though some things that aren't great, but I think there's a lot of people just be like, fuck him and good.
Give me one example.
Of a good thing?
Yes.
I think Scott Snyder stuff, Super Sun stuff is good.
Yeah, so like Damian Wayne being a new Robin who isn't just being erased at the because there was a tease many years ago, I think, of like in the future it's Batman's son, Damian Wayne, and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And then the plot thread just was left dangling forever. And it's like, well, it's nice to actually have some movement
in this direction.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But so I don't know. There will be some kind of shakeup. Also, New 52 was incredibly successful initially.
Yeah, right.
And then it was a race to do everything all at once.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of made it fall down. And, of course, they erased all the old stuff. And I guess bringing all that back is a good move. But DC Rebirth wasn't as successful as New 52. But
we have to remember, none of this is actually anyone's fault besides Dr. Manhattan's fault. Dr. Manhattan did this, right?
Oh, yeah, there was that also.
Yeah, narratively, it's his fault.
I don't like that.
No, I don't either.
I don't like him at all.
Yeah.
No, I don't mind. I think there's a good idea in that. Yeah. But that's a Geoff Johns thing and whatever and so forth. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out for the rest of the year and then et cetera and so forth forever and ever.
That's true.
But, again, I do like the idea of characters aging out.
What's going to happen to Superman's underpants?
Inside, outside, both?
Yeah, sure.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That leads us into our topic this week. It's actually a Patreon topic. I threw it out there. I was be like, what do you guys want? Got a lot of really great suggestions, 100 plus. Kevin said, this is some ones we're not doing, just so we know. But you know, it's good to just say things.
Sorry, Kevin.
Oh, here he is. The Jurassic Snark is back, everybody. So I don't remember if this has been done, but maybe superior crossover movies you like to see made. Also ones you definitely don't want to see made. Mm-hmm. Ashley says just simply Red Dwarf. Dwarf. Sorry.
Thank you.
I know. Andrew says movies that grew on you over time, or maybe movies that you wanted to grow on you but never did.
Okay, sure.
But the one I think we're going with this week, this is from Taz, and she says most controversial comic book moments.
Oh.
The example given here is Batman Dong Edition and Hydra Cap. Those are the kind of examples that are thrown out there. But kind of going through a list and Googling it and things that I remember and being a big deal. I think this is really interesting.
Should we start with Batman's dong?
Yes, written here, let's start with Batman's dong. I actually wrote that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's in my
notes. That's pretty cool.
So, for those people who don't know, there was a recent it's called DC After Dark, nude stuff.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
It's called Black Edition?
Wait. Yeah.
Yeah, DC Black Label.
Yeah, so there you go. So, essentially, it's for grown-ups.
Absolutely.
It's for people who want to see dongs in comics.
This ain't your grandpappy's DC comics, tell you what.
And it's certainly not your grandpa's dong either.
That's
this is a new and fresh dong.
Fresh dong.
Fresh off the press.
Yep.
So they basically revealed, and it's mostly just silhouetted, but you see a naked Bruce Wayne and you see his dong, don't you?
Yep.
And there was such controversy.
Why though? I'm going to look this up.
I think it's because
quick.
It's Batman. Because if you, and I think we mentioned
that
this
doesn't mean
top.
Anything.
No, because it's like a children's character, essentially.
Right.
Not all of it, obviously. It's for...
Well, not his dick.
No.
That's not for children.
No. But, you know, as I mentioned at the time, you get comics like Sex Criminals or whatever where it's Dong City in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But these are not, you know, these are seen by a lot of people as they're not for
okay,
adults.
This is Brian Azzarello.
Which is not true, obviously.
DC set up this imprint, take our characters, do something mature. When that opportunity was given to us, we decided, let's not half-ass this. Let's go all the way. We'll either go down in a blaze of glory or we hit the ball. Of his dong.
Let's not half-ass
this.
But
I mean, that's...
Let's go full dong.
But mature doesn't mean necessarily
show
Batman's
dick. I know, because does that still
help.
I don't go straight away... Well, let's see his dick then. Come on, if you're doing something mature. Right. Come on, let's see it.
It's the suits. What are you doing, you cowards?
I don't think it's a big deal. That's an odd quote, though, to be like.
Yeah, right.
But I guess, you know, I don't think it really adds anything to the comic or takes away from it. I don't think it changes anything.
Well, here's the thing, though. I don't know anything about that storyline besides that.
I did read it, but I don't remember it.
Uh-huh.
Did I read the Dong edition? I think because I read mostly digital comics, so it'll be updated by now.
For sure. So, you're going to have to get the laptop with that version on it, switch all the Wi-Fis off, put it in a safe or something.
Well, you have to choose to update your comics, I never will.
Mm.
I want to, you know. Oh, maybe.
But your wife could get in there and be like, no, thank you.
Oh, you know what? I've probably deleted it because I wipe stuff off my phone if I have for space.
Well,
so,
there's no way to see it then.
How am I going to see Batman's dong?
Yeah.
How am I going to do it? But, so as we mentioned, they redid it.
Yeah.
Redong it. And now you can't see the dong. So
okay. Batman enlists the help of the foul-mouthed magician John Constantine. Is that the one?
Yes, it's a Constantine narrated story. That's right.
Okay.
It's three issues, maybe?
Batman, your torch's hanging out. That's what he said.
Isn't it? it ends abruptly from memory.
Okay.
But I don't remember disliking it.
There you go.
The dong, that is.
Right, sure.
I was okay with it, yeah. Mm. Do you want to then skip over to the New 52?
Okay, sure.
What are your thoughts on New 52? First of all, do you want to explain what it is for those who might not know?
I'm trying to remember what the New 52 was.
They just rebooted everything.
I know, exactly. Well, what happened is every 10... It used to be like every 20 years, but then it became every 15 years, every 10 years, every 5 years.
Yeah.
DC reboots their entire continuity. It's awful. It's almost always in story.
Yes.
So like a big city, a galaxy destroying thing shows up and it's going to erase all of reality and the heroes race to stop it and then they do it. But then ultimately...
But at what cost?
Well, all of reality has changed, whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the springboard was for the New 52.
Don't know if there was a particular reality-shaking event that there probably was that made it happen.
I'm going to find out what it is.
Sure. But basically...
Was it Flashpoint?
Was that before or after?
I don't know.
Because I was going to say Flashpoint.
Following the conclusion of the Flashpoint
It was.
Crossover.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Because I couldn't remember whether that was the start of Rebirth or not, whether it was the start of U52. You're right.
This is the problem.
Yeah.
And this is why this sort of stuff is controversial, because they never let anything breathe.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that, but it's like 10 years.
What is now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's 10, right. But this one, so essentially the Flashpoint storyline was that the Flash, who at his fastest can travel through time, is like, I'm going to go back in time and stop the death of my mother.
Yep. There's a movie you can watch as well.
Yeah, and there's also this, the storyline was basically covered in the Flash TV series as well.
Yes.
So he goes back in time to stop his mother being killed, and I believe the culprit is the Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
She was killed under mysterious circumstances, and in doing so, he alters the timeline, so all of reality has changed. And
in that, in the future, Wonder Woman is fighting Aquaman. Their armies are battling, and
oh yeah,
and he gets a note from, and that's where Batman's evil dad comes from, and his mum's
yes,
a Joker.
Exactly, yeah.
But there is a nice moment where I think it's a good comic.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it still might be happening in the new Flash movie, but it seems kind of unearned to be like, we're doing Flashpoint straight out of the gate. That being said, it would justify all the changes that have been made to the DC movie universe.
What's interesting about the New 52 is one of the things they did is they got Wonder Woman's origin and they changed it so it was more accurate to the Greek myths. So it was like if a boy is born on the Amazonian island of Themyscira, they kill it.
Yes.
And they have...
They told her she was clay.
Yeah, she was not, the daughter of Zeus.
Yeah.
And in order to have more children on Themyscira, they lure sailors and then they, like, kill them.
Yeah,
throw them overboard. Cool. So that's fun, right? They Amazons get pregnant by sleeping with human sailors and then murder and dump at sea. So that's...
Classic.
It's fun, yeah, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a bit of a double standard, isn't it, Mason, obviously?
Very much so, yeah. It's PC gone mad?
Yeah.
The problem also with the New 52 is it was operating on some sort of weird timeline where not all the books were operating in the same time period. So over in the Justice League comic book, Superman was like a fully realized Superman. He even had his new high-tech suit with no underpants. But in Superman's own book... He was just this dude
rocking around t-shirt and jeans.
Was that
the future, maybe?
No, that was the past. And he had his...
I don't know if it was because that Superman...
See, that's the problem.
Maybe I'm thinking of the movie, but that's because when he's introduced to the Justice League, they all try to beat him up. So is that t-shirt stuff must be long after then, right?
I think it's before.
Anyway, he's dead.
Oh, that version of Superman is in fact dead. He's literally dead. He wasn't just erased from continuity.
they killed him
and then replaced him with the prior version of Superman. Yeah.
I didn't like that version anyway.
Right.
I thought he was...
Was the New 52 full also, of shit, also Mason. The version that Batman had disappeared and he was replaced with Jim Gordon as Batman?
That was that happened in that, yeah.
And he was wearing a mech suit?
See, that's the thing though, because I think there's some good stories within it. I just don't know... or care how it all comes together.
And I don't know where they were placed. Yeah. I don't know if that was that the future, was that the past.
And I'm sure people could send us a spreadsheet, but I don't want it.
Right? It doesn't matter anymore because 5G is coming or whatever.
Yeah.
Are we still in the New 52?
No, we're in the rebirth. We're out of it now or whatever.
Oh my God, this is the problem.
I don't really have a problem with this because comics always change.
Yeah, no, for
and
sure.
They're bad and they're good and they're whatever.
That's probably true,
and the thing that always has mattered to me is... good story arcs.
I guess that's probably
true. I don't care about continuity. Yeah, I don't give a shit.
But I think often, I feel maybe the issue, but you're probably right. You know, one of the issues I had with one of these reboots is that the Robin that I, my favorite Robin was Tim Drake.
Sounds like a 60s sitcom.
Right, my favorite Robin. I'm living with too many Robins.
But this one's my favorite. Right.
But one of them was taken out of continuity. They were like, no, he was never Robin.
Red Robin?
And he became Red Robin. Yeah. And it's like, well, what's the point of that?
It doesn't. Like, why do it? Yeah.
Why do it? I mean, it doesn't. You know, just yeah. Let's just say. What I mean, did they have a maximum number of quotas? Did Bill Finger one day or Bob Kane be like, there can only ever be 5 Robins in continuity at any given time?
Well, I don't think
one in, one out. That's my rule for Robins.
If it was Bill Finger, nobody would have listened to him. So I don't.
That's
think
true.
It was
yeah,
Bill Finger,
wouldn't have been Bill Finger. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I don't understand that. No. But again, like you can read that first New 52 Aquaman run, the Wonder Woman one, the Batman.
The Aquaman one was very good, if I recall.
Yes, if you read that entire Scott Snyder run, and even because he just finished it with, he's carrying Joker's head around a lantern recently.
Yeah.
But
also they had to do 52 new books,
right? But they didn't though, did they? Because that was the idea, but I don't think they got to them. And they made Lobo like trim and sexy.
Yeah, that's how he started. Lobo began his life trim and sexy, and then he got bigger and more of a caricature.
In the 90s, I assume.
As the character got more, like, fan service-y.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay, let's make him bigger and weirder.
Yeah.
And I think what happened as well, like, I'm sure that he got certain artists who drew everybody in a kind of caricature-y way.
Yeah, right.
And then and then people were like, I like that style. Let's have everybody do it. And then it kind of, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's fun, isn't it?
It's very fun.
Should we get off this one thing that we're stuck on?
The new 52. No, yeah. let's maroon ourselves in the new 52.
That's so many more things.
Okay,
yeah.
Carry on then.
This is also a rebooty kind of thing, and I just need you to explain it again.
Oh, no.
Marvel's Heroes Reborn.
Oh, okay, I can do this. All right. So.
This is fun for me.
What happened was.
These aren't all reboot things, by the way.
No, there was some other stuff that isn't reboots. Yeah. But basically, what happened was, is I think Marvel had a bunch of, like, a number of character, like, a number of series that weren't, that never particularly did. They never did particularly well, like from like the 90s to now. They haven't ever been particularly popular.
Sure.
Like the X-Men are wildly popular, Spider-Man wildly popular, so but a few others were not. And so they were like, let's get some super hot creator types, like from Image Comics, can you believe it?
Your Liefelds,
yeah,
your Lees.
Your Lees, your Wills Portacios. Like, okay, let's... The premise was there was a crossover series featuring a villain called Onslaught, and they all the good guys had to team up and defeat Onslaught.
Was he maybe Professor X's brain or something?
Yeah, he was Magneto's evil spirit inside Professor X's body, and then created a new being with all their powers plus more powers. Mm. But at the end, in order to defeat Onslaught, a number of the heroes, coincidentally the ones that weren't particularly popular and weren't selling a lot of books, they all, like, sort of charged at him and were seemingly all killed. But Franklin Richards, the son of Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman, put them instead into a parallel reality where everything was cooler and sexier.
And they had,
like, new origin stories.
A lot of beach time?
Not as much beach time as you'd think. No. But Iron Man got a book. Fantastic Four got a book.
These were it's weird that they're the not popular characters. Captain America was in there, I think.
Captain America got a book. There was an Avengers book.
Yeah.
I think there was a Thor. What's interesting about that is that now these are all the most...
Yes.
I mean, with the exception of Spider-Man, who's always perennially popular.
It's because of the movies, though, right?
Yeah, it's because of the movies in it. The reason that the characters... The reason that the MCU has this particular raft of characters is because they were never popular in the comic books.
Yeah.
Or in recent memory, they weren't popular in the comic books. So they were never licensed out to any of the movie studios to make, you know, a Spider-Man movie or an X-Men movie.
I did a video on it. It's called Marvel's Gamble or something.
Yeah, right.
Like.
And so these characters, Marvel still owned them.
Yes.
And so they were doing stuff like rebooting them in weird ways or whatever. And so when they put together their own movie studio, these are the characters they had left, essentially. With the exception of the Fantastic Four, I guess.
Absolutely.
Can't account for that.
No one ever could.
Yeah.
So would you say it was a success or not a success?
I don't know if it made any money.
You're right. So despite all of these things.
Yeah, right.
And so was it in the regular...
I mean, I bought them all.
Sure you did. But in the regular universe, those characters were replaced, is that right, with newer versions?
No, those characters, the people were just like, what happened to Iron Man? Where'd he
that
go?
Was it. So they weren't like, there's a new, like, War Machine's doing the Iron Man stuff or whatever.
Oh, there were a few replacements. The more interesting stuff was what happened in the regular Marvel Universe where everybody was gone. So because New York had no Avengers, the new greatest superhero team was the Thunderbolts, which was actually a bunch of supervillains in disguise.
Yeah, right, okay.
So that was a good, that is a concept that remains, you know, popular.
Okay,
to this very day. It's weird they haven't done a Thunderbolts.
I think it's coming.
You think it's coming, Thunderbolts movie?
Hot, fast.
Yeah, because you need that build-up of villains who haven't also been killed.
Yes.
So it's taken some time because a lot of them have.
But also realities and whatever.
Oh, yeah, so just whatever. Bring them back. Just bring them back, who cares?
Great. Well, speaking of heroes turn villains or vice versa. Oh, you've got
also,
more?
Well, I was going to say, just if you want to, some of the art was not great. I mean, it was like...
Well, it was that era, wasn't it?
It was the Image and dynamic and sexy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was
everyone
like...
had a broken spine.
Everybody Googled Heroes Reborn Captain America.
Oh, yes. Seen it. You've definitely seen it. If you're listening to this, you've seen it.
And 100% one of them will be like... One of the pictures will be like a side-by-side, like somebody's imagined him nude as well. Like, take the uniform off and imagine what that man looks like.
Hot stuff.
That huge side of beef weird man.
All in all, you loved it.
No.
You didn't like it, everyone.
It was bad.
Jurassic Snark, here he is.
It's not how Snark works.
It is, Mason. You didn't like it. Anything you don't like is pure Snark.
Oh,
that's
I
all.
Get it. Okay. and basically what happened at the end of that is they all returned to their own reality and all the narrative issues they had prior to going in were just suddenly resolved.
That's lucky.
Like prior to Iron Man going in there, he turned evil because of time travel shenanigans, and then he was killed and replaced by his teenage self.
Yep.
And so the teenage self went into this parallel universe and became an adult. But when he emerged from that fake reality, he was just normal Tony Stark again,
right,
with no explanation.
And he just had all these other memories.
Just had all these other memories, yeah.
Well,
comic books.
And different realities.
Yeah, different realities, yeah.
Merging, he's like, my brain's merged. He probably yelled, my brain's merged.
Probably he did. No, that's true, yeah.
So Hydra Cap is a newer thing, which was quite controversial, I feel. No, it was said it was, but it's not, I don't think. I think it's just a... I mean, if you've read the story, and I guess I'll spoil at the end, he's not that at the end.
Maybe explain the start.
Okay,
first,
essentially, it's like Captain America's back. He's back from the dead. And
America's greatest
hero. And everyone's super excited. But it turns out because of fucking around with the Cosmic Cube, multiple villains, mostly led by Red Skull, I believe. I have read it. I can't really remember.
Have you?
Yes. They go back in time and they mess with his past, so he's got loyalty to Hydra.
Yeah, right.
And so he's essentially Captain Hydra, and he ends up running kind of the world as the president.
And as often happens with any kind of, character change or comic book related thing, is that this idea goes out into the mainstream. This was during the MCU, right?
Yeah, this is like four years ago. Maybe?
So basically what happens is this articles start being written in the mainstream media and people are like, they've made him evil. Well, this is... Well, how would you? You can't make it. And then Marvel's like, yeah,
2017,
and
Secret Hydra,
and he's
Secret
definitely
Empire.
Gonna. He's definitely Marvel's like, he's definitely gonna stay evil forever. We've made him evil forever.
This is we've done this for a reason.
And it's real. We've made him real evil forever. And then the mainstream media's like, oh my god, they've ruined an icon. And then a couple of years later, he's just regular Captain America.
I don't even know if it was that long, but yeah, he was really in there the whole time. And the spirit of Bucky and something summoned him out. I can't remember. I have read it. It's good from memory. I just haven't read it today, which is why I don't remember it.
Oh, well, you should have read it today.
Because, again, anything from, like, the past 4 or 5 years when my son was born, I just have my memories just like, I don't know.
I'm the same.
Mm.
Any...
So it's not just a kid thing.
I think it's your son is projecting some sort of wave from his brain and it's erasing our memories.
He does have that laser.
It's probably the laser to the brain that'll do it, yeah.
So, I don't know, Cap Hydra. Here we go. Here's
but this doesn't this just prove the bloody, the absolute, just the, what's the word I'm looking for?
The gall. The audacity.
Your sheer audacity. No, more the like the, I'll think of the word later.
Okay. What in conjunction to what though?
Just the idea that like all this stuff is so, the comic book stuff is just, it just comes and goes.
Yeah, all of this is that.
Yeah.
Though I think some of this stuff has had impacts to this day, though, for the worse.
Right.
What about this one, though? Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, they're siblings, but also they were maybe having sex or something.
This was an Ultimate Comics. This is a new sexy reboot. A lot of this stuff...
That's what people want.
Yeah.
The new sexy reboot.
That's right. A lot of this stuff seems to be people going... It's a lot of stunts, really.
Yeah.
But this was the Ultimate Universe, which was operating in parallel with the regular Marvel Universe. Hmm. And it was like, well, what if we don't want people to have to open up an X-Men comic book and there's a million years of continuity with this and I don't know why does that character hate this character and what's this relationship between these two characters or whatever. They're like, let's start it all again. Let's have some modern day origins. Let's free it of all the continuity.
Yes.
And let's have Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, their brother and sister, but...
Sex stuff.
It's weird.
Yeah. I haven't read any of it.
Okay.
I just know it's a big deal. And it's gone now, I think.
The Ultimate Universe, it is gone, yes.
Some of it survived.
Miles Morales did.
Well, you had the same problem with this as, like I said, with the New 52, where they did all the history really quickly.
They had to rush it all in. Somebody's 40
like, years of
somebody's
history.
Somebody's like, well, this universe doesn't have a Venom yet.
Yeah.
What if I invent the Venom for this universe? Bad. Fine.
In a jar.
It was in a jar. Yeah, it was in a jar.
Jar of Vegemite gone bad, left in the sun.
That's right.
What happens.
Yeah. That's what his catchphrase was, g'day, mate.
Yes. This next thing I think is the...
I'm full of vitamin B.
Is the... and teeth.
Yep.
The... this thing I think is the catalyst.
Oh, yes.
It's not the first kind of stunt, but it's kind of responsible for modern comic book day stunts.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking
about? Is it the Killing Joke?
I was going to say Death of Superman.
Oh, yeah, okay, right.
Because it was like, that was the real, like, Superman's dead and he's never coming back. Yeah.
And people are like, what are we?
What is front of the newspaper? Real newspapers.
Yeah, but it's an icon. What are they going to? I remember
the peak of the comic book 90s boom.
I remember Australia's The Late Show from the D Generation had a joke about the death of Superman. And I'm like, wow. All my interests are intersecting.
Yes.
It's a shame that Superman's dead forever, but it's worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
But of course he wasn't dead.
No, two couple of years? I remember.
A couple of years, yeah.
It's a really strange story if you've read it now, because there's a lot of stuff in there. I've mentioned this before, but it's just like, what is any of this?
Right.
It's so steeped in continuity.
From back then.
Like,
yeah,
who were all these?
Supergirl's not really Supergirl. She's like an alien blob who can shapeshift into Supergirl. Yeah.
And who's also dating Lex Luthor.
Yep.
Who's the clone of Lex Luthor, because he's Lex Luthor's, it was his son, not really his son, but he pretended he was his son.
Yeah,
and his hair continually grows.
So he, yeah, so Lex Luthor.
Don't
read it, no.
Oh, you can skip
but
all that.
Lex Luthor got cancer because he was always wearing a kryptonite ring.
Cool, bro.
And then he had got another body cloned, and then he got it cloned in Australia. And so I guess it's cheaper.
Vegemite.
Yeah, Vegemite.
G'day, mate.
And then
he
had his brain transplanted into this clone, and then he claimed to be his own son.
I got this new bod.
And then he started dating Supergirl.
That I can boogie bod with.
Yes.
Dating this blob.
Yeah. It was called The Bod and His Blob. So the comic book was called.
And
didn't make a comic book about anything back then.
And his hair continually grew all the time.
And it was red.
Yeah. Well, that's what he is red, isn't he? He's always been red.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And also in very early stories, this is unrelated, but one of the reasons that Lex Luthor hates Superman is because Superman made him go bald.
That's correct, yes.
Failed experiment, which was also actually Lex Luthor's fault.
It was 100% Lex Luthor's fault. But there was a fire. He started an experiment. There was a fire. And then Superman came in and was like, I'll blow out this fire. And he did his super breath.
But the vapors.
The vapors got in all of Luthor's follicles.
Mm.
And all his hair fell out.
He was like, curse you, Superman.
He blew some super nair on his face. On
his
scalp.
That's right. Man, he made a big deal of it at the time, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I think, set up a lot of the stunts, including like Batman getting his back broken.
And 100% it established the playbook of like, we're changing continuity forever.
Yeah.
This is never coming back.
I like a lot of the ideas behind that story. I really like the idea of the four Superman turning up and which one's the real one. Spoiler alert, none of them. But is it four? It was four, wasn't it?
It's four, yeah.
Yeah. And I would have really liked to have seen something done with that in live action when they killed Superman. To be like, just go, well, we zapped him with a box and now he's back. What's the fallout from that? Aside from people going, we're sad because Superman's dead.
Well, speaking
maybe?
Of fallout, you want a cyborg Superman, also played by Henry Cavill, but he's got a metal mustache.
Oh my God, Mason!
Right,
the dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
It also resulted in that awful Death of Superman video game we played.
Oh yeah, banked.
We did a caravan of garbage on it, but I feel like the end result was so boring.
I never put it out.
Never put it out.
Yeah, because I'm like, I got to pay to get this edited,
right?
And then it won't make any money.
And it was just a side-scrolling beat 'em up, and it never.
It's just the same
it's
thing
just
again.
The same
and
thing
also,
so
all
many
the
levels.
Characters play exactly the same.
Yeah.
So whatever version of Superman you, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, but imagine though, off the back of that though, you then made this Superman movie without Superman, where you've got these four Supermen in it.
Yeah.
And you could have introduced Steel and Superboy and Eradicator and.
Yep.
Metallo, whatever that other one was.
Cyborg Superman with a big mustache.
Yes.
Yeah. Hank Henshaw's got the same Lex Luthor story, but essentially. He was an astronaut with his wife. And they went on an astronaut mission into space, and then their shuttle was about to explode, and then Superman rescued him.
But he went bald.
But he'd be exactly. And his wife went bald. Can't be hanging out with a bald wife. But then his wife died, and he's like, I blame you, Superman. But also when he went into space, he gained the ability to control machines with his mind.
Technopath.
Yes.
You're right. You're 100% right, because I just Googled it as well.
And then when Superman was a Superman villain for a while, and then when Superman defeated him, his brain went up back into space, and it found, well, his energy waves or whatever, and found the spaceship that Superman came to Earth in. So it had enough Kryptonian DNA and enough Kryptonian technology in it that he could clone himself a Superman body
and
with cyborg
like,
bits.
And they're like, what do you remember, Cyborg Superman? He's like, I remember some things.
Yes.
And that's pretty much all he...
Certainly didn't have a bald wife, let me tell you. Couldn't tell you who my wife is currently, but...
There's one thing you could accuse me of. It's certainly not that. I'll tell you that much. Do you want... I mean, Batman broke his back, which...
He didn't break his own back.
He did. He picked himself up and broke himself over his own
head. Over one of his luxurious banisters. Because that's what the rich people do. They're so bored. They've got nothing to
do.
They're
care,
like,
mate.
Oh, my God. I just want to feel something.
The idea behind this, though, was also because people wanted Batman to be more edgy and cool and real. And wasn't it DC wanted that also? So they went, well, let's do the edgy, real Batman show you how dumb it is.
I think some creators in the Batman creator camp were like, yeah, let's if that's what you want, we'll do it. We'll go too far, and then everybody will be begging us to bring it back to the status quo. I don't know how true that is, but that's what they've said in the past. Yeah.
And were people begging for him to come back at that point?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really remember. Mm. a big deal at the time.
It's probably a documentary on it.
No doubt.
They'll just make it out of this, probably.
Yeah, this will just use this. We don't mind.
Just add dramatic music. Add some reverb and some dramatic music, and then...
And you can do this, and then things were changed forever.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne was flying high, and it all came crashing down. Otto Bannister, he did it himself. I mean, that was, you know, there's been some... echoes of that in other Batman stuff. So like in The Dark Knight Rises, of course, Bane was the instigator of that.
Even I guess, does Kingdom come after this? Because he's got this neck brace in that. But that could just be genuine wear and tear.
Kingdom Come was after this.
Yeah. But I figured that's just because he's just been general wear and tear anyway.
Being Batman for decades, probably.
How did he come back? Was it mostly just exercises? That was magic.
It turned out,
was it Lazarus stuff? Did he loop a rope under his arms and then a guy kicked him in the back?
No.
Like in The Dark Knight Rises?
It turned out that one of his like doctors / love interests also had like psychic healing powers.
Oh, yeah.
Which was kind of like a lame cop-out.
Just Lazarus Pit. Does it do that though?
No, he doesn't Lazarus Pit, no.
Just go up to your armpits. You don't even have to put your brain in it.
If you put Kingdom Come into Google, the first result is an action role-playing game, Kingdom Come Deliverance, which came out in 2018. That's the one I want. No.
Is that the one you want?
No.
There's a sequel to that also, isn't there? Not the role-playing game, the comic.
Yeah, it was just called The Kingdom. Mm. That's where we had the first appearance of Damian Wayne. But he was Damian Al Ghul, I think. Twist. Kingdom Come came out in 1996.
Yep.
Look up Knight's End.
I mean, Kingdom Come's its own thing anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Nightfall. God damn it. Nightfall... It's a TV series.
Yeah.
DC, your search engine optimization is not good. Nightfall was 1993, 1994. Well, there you go. So
I was going to say 93, but I didn't want to back myself.
Okay, don't. Yeah. Never do.
Yeah, but that could just be a coincidence.
I think it's coincidence.
What about this? They're stepping back in time. This is more the government making a big deal of comics.
Excuse me?
The Comics Code Authority.
Oh, right.
Which is like comics...
Dr. Frederick Wortham.
Yes.
We may have talked about this on the podcast, I think. But in the 50s.
Big scare campaign.
There was a guy called Dr. Frederick Wortham.
He sucks straight up.
And he was like, thank you. If they reprint the book, they should put that on the cover. And he made a book called The Seduction of the Innocent. And basically was like, all these juvenile delinquents, it's comic book's fault kind of thing.
Yeah.
And some of his...
It's just boomers running amok, mate. That's
right. Or as they called them at the time, regular people. But we know better, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. It's like it's that idea of like the worst man you know made a great point, you know, like that Onion article kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because some of the comic book stuff at the time was quite grisly.
Yes.
And like there'd be like torture and murder and like, you know.
Real crime, big time crime stuff.
Yeah. They're like the guy, Bill Gaines, who I think published Mad Magazine, he would also do like Tales from the Crypt, and he would do like even more grisly crime stuff, and you know, horrible torture and maiming and all that sort of stuff. And it made sense that you'd be like, well, maybe we don't want to show kids all that sort of stuff. But all the rules that were set in place after this, I'll talk about the book. But the book was, some of the examples were like, oh look, it's a picture of a Robin and he's got his hands on his hips and he's thrusting his crotch at the viewer. And it's like, is that what he's doing? Is that what you're reading into what he's doing there? You know? And he'd be like, you can clearly see the genitalia in this person's armpit or whatever. And you're like, I think
they made him change like weird things as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I wonder if.
That's why Batman and Robin got a maid.
That's why they got Aunt Harriet, yeah.
So it's like, well, they're not gay because they also live with an old woman.
That's why they got Aunt Harriet, and that's why Batwoman exists as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone for them to kiss, potentially.
Exactly, for sure.
Great.
And I wonder how much of it was, because I don't know, like I feel like when I hear about this sort of stuff, it feels like this book would have been published in earnest. Well, this is, I see some problems in society, but I wonder how much of it was just him.
Yeah.
Being like a scaremonger for money. Like I think there's
there's a lot of parallels to that today, you know, people being, you know, immigrants are stealing your jobs and et cetera and so forth, and video games are causing mass shootings, et cetera and so forth. Mm. But, you know, and there was like the 80s satanic panic for like Dungeons and Dragons and all that kind of shit. This stuff comes around every once in a while. There's like a new thing. But I think comics aren't, people don't really think about that with comics now, because comics are literally every kind of genre now. But there were things like, I remember you mentioning that Marv Wolfman, famous comic book creator. You couldn't say Wolfman.
Yeah, you couldn't say Wolfman in a comic book, so his name was not allowed to be. One day he was like, well, I'm gonna I'm going to put a sneaky little credit to me in this comic book. And they're like, no.
And it, yeah, exactly. And it was things like, there was a lot of grisly murders in the Batmans, and then it was just all Joker hijinks and things like that because they changed it. Because it had to be approved by this dumb thing.
The Joker didn't kill anybody in a comic book for like 25 years or something like that because he wasn't, they were like, well. And again, you know, the rules were such like, you know, the villains could never win at the end of a comic book, so they could never really be a two-parter.
You can't show authority in a negative light. Yeah, you can't have crime paying off.
Yeah.
This Scott Nerdsink did a really interesting video where he breaks down the entire history of it.
Let's put it in.
But it's really great. I'll link it below. But essentially, it goes for much longer than you think.
Yeah,
like a lot. This Comics Code Authority stamp lasted a really, really long time. And by the end, it was just like one person just kind of reading and approving things. But only went through people as like a courtesy.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where comic creators were just like, fuck this, what are we doing?
Yeah, for sure.
I know Alan Moore was like, I'm doing it.
And Stan Lee did a had a three-part Spider-Man storyline about drug abuse.
Mm.
And he was basically,
Was this an alcoholism thing with Tony Stark as well? Would that come up against it?
No, I think that was after. Well, actually.
It's in Scott's video.
Oh, there you go. That'll cover it. But yeah, like, I think it was in the 70s and they submitted this story to the Comics Code and they're like, well, you can't. You can't publish this. And Stan Lee was like, well, we're saying drugs are bad. And they're like, yeah, but you can't say drugs or anything. You can't mention drugs. So he's like, I'll just publish it anyway and see what happens. And then people are like, oh, this is a good story. It's weird that they would say you can't.
Drugs are good as well. That's what he said.
He said.
I love him.
That's right.
Dead. He got away with it.
That's true. Oh, my God. In a 2012 study, it was written that Wirtha manipulated, overstated, compromised, and fabricated evidence.
Shock
especially that evidence he attributed to personal clinical research with young people for rhetorical gain. So basically, like
a grifter.
He was basically like, "Well, I made the point first, and then I'm gonna tweak the evidence so it supports my point."
I think it did though, to a point. Like you mentioned, it did encourage creativity, and a lot of the things that kind of spun off from that still kind of resonate.
Oh yeah, in like comics, the 50s. The sort of the late 50s through to the 60s were, you know, just a hotbed of weird stuff.
Mm.
Like, I think, you know, it probably spurred on just a whole new generation of people going, well, like, well, we can't have just gangsters and shooting and murders. What else can we do?
Draculas.
Yeah.
Mm, fair enough.
Let's have Green Arrow go to a planet where everybody's like 100 feet tall, but there's a 100 foot tall Green Arrow as well.
Goodness.
Bad storyline. I've read it. It's no good.
No good. Let's talk about One More Day.
Okay. The Spider-Man story?
Yeah. So the devil or Mephisto or a version of the devil, who's to say, makes...
I can say definitively he's not the devil.
No.
But he tricks people into thinking he is.
Because of his big horns.
Yeah, big horns, yeah.
Yeah. I can see how people get confused.
And his sort of pinkish face.
Pinkish?
Pinkish.
Ah, see, that's when I know that it wasn't...
Right?
It wasn't on the level.
Yeah.
So basically, Spider-Man and Mary Jane are forced to make a deal to erase their history together and they're no longer married.
To save the life of Aunt May.
It's not a bad
Very
comic.
Very noble. Yeah.
But, of course, the controversy behind it was you are erasing these characters' histories.
Yes.
But then you got a single Peter Parker, and that's cool, isn't it?
Mm, I think they're back together in the comic.
They are. It's all...
It took so many years.
It's whatever happened and... Mm-hmm. Is it a good comic though? I think there's some touching moments in it because they share that last kind of night together and they're reminiscing as their memories are being wiped or something.
I didn't like it.
Okay. Maybe it
I think it
good.
Sucks.
Okay. You didn't think it was a touching homage?
I thought it sucked.
They're kissing and hugging.
Sucked.
I'm not against it. I don't care.
The comic book industry generally seems to be massively against happy marriages. Have you noticed?
Yeah. Well, so is society, if you know what I mean.
That's right.
One in three or whatever it is.
That's right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So there you go.
A few more people who should be divorced. Am I right? Jurassic Stark.
You've heard some things.
Yeah, that's right.
So do you want to talk about then, which is called one of the worst Spider-Man stories ever, whether or not this is true? Probably. It's called Sins Past.
Oh, I know. That story. No, oh.
This is fun for me. I enjoy this. Right?
So that storyline basically was that it was revealed that in the past, Gwen Stacy, who was Peter Parker's girlfriend before Mary Jane,
before he killed her,
who was supposed to be, you know, just an amazing young woman, turned out to have had an affair with Norman Osborn, the original Green Goblin.
She at school at the time.
Yeah, maybe, probably. who then killed her later.
Well, he killed. Well, Spider-Man didn't catch her properly, did he?
Well, maybe. Look, we can all apportion the blame. Let's give it to Gwen Stacy because she's dead and she can't defend herself. And she's not real.
Yes.
And basically, they had an affair which resulted in Gwen Stacy giving birth to like evil Green Goblin children.
Genetically altered. They grew really fast or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she just returned to Peter Parker being like, what a weekend I've had.
Man,
anyway.
You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, right?
So,
and sort of besmirched the memory of that character.
Yeah.
People didn't like it. I didn't like it.
No, I just think, I think it's interesting that you go back and you give depth to a somewhat nothing character.
Okay.
Because that Gwen Stacy was defined by the fact that Spider-Man killed, he didn't kill, you know, it was.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. So, but it shouldn't have been this, is what
well,
I'm
yeah,
going to say.
Well, yeah, you can do it in a, you can
do another, do a
do
different,
a different
version.
Story in which she's got a, has a cool backstory that's fun.
She rides a motorbike.
Rides it, exactly. She's like, well, time to walk home, Peter Parker, I'll see you later. And then she gets the motorcycle out of the bushes, and then she's like, a motorcycle
my
daredevil.
God.
That'd be
but
fun.
I think now, even though she's from a different dimension or whatever.
Oh, Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen is now what people know her for, I would say, more
yeah,
than
for sure.
The fact that she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever
Spider-Man
she,
killed her.
And Spider-Man killed her. Because whenever she rolls back in, there was always like, but you're dead. But then she'd be a robot or a clone or a ghost or whatever they used to do.
Yeah.
But now she's like back properly and a real character and a cool costume. Hood.
Good stuff.
Great stuff. Do you want to talk about Green Lantern's girlfriend got stuffed in the fridge?
Oh, boy. Is this still fun for you?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so...
Kyle Rayner.
So the what happened was in the 90s, this is post-death of Superman.
Yeah.
So in the death of Superman storyline, Coast City is destroyed, which is Hal Jordan's home city. It's the city he protects.
Yep.
Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern. And so he goes mad, as you might imagine, because everybody he knows is dead.
Yep.
And he turns evil, and he, like, kills a bunch of Green Lanterns, and he goes out into space and he destroys the Green Lantern power battery and what have you. And then the last remaining Green Lantern ring is given to just a rando, Kyle Rayner.
Yep.
And we see a little bit of his like suburban life. He has a girlfriend named Alex, and he's just
it's
like
good times.
Two issues in, the bad guys realize there's a new guy with the Green Lantern ring, and they're like, let's get him. And so they go to his house. Well, they send
and by him they mean
the girl. Yeah. So they go. They send like an enforcer to their house. And
yeah.
Who kills her and stuffs her in a fridge, basically.
Yep.
And not even like just as a distraction, like a momentary distraction between issues,
yes.
Basically.
Yeah. And it's coined the term fridging.
Yeah. So Gail Simone, who we mentioned earlier, she coined that, and I think she mentioned that, and people were like, "Come on, there's no that this no, like," and it became an example of like you. Create a character solely
for the heartbreaker.
Yeah, to kill them so that the hero has a
someone to cry about.
It's someone to cry about and a
motivation.
And a motivation to become a better hero or whatever. And people are like, come on, it's not as common as you'd think. And then she came up with like 90 examples of like, yeah, it happens all the time. So yeah, it's a bit of it's a real cheap device.
So now when people use it, there is that kind of like, can you do something better than this?
Yeah, right.
Which I think is good.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately that ended up being a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, narratively, I guess there's nothing wrong with. I mean, there probably is. There's easy ways,
but
like, you know, if you kill a beloved character as motivation or, you know, in an important.
Yeah, there's ways to do it.
There's ways to do it, but it's, you know, it's if Lois Lane is killed or so, or you know, Tony Stark is killed. Which would encourage people to be more heroic.
More Iron Mans.
Mm. That's, you know, because we've had enough time with those characters.
Yeah.
We have a personal bond with those characters, not just two issues of like, hey, I'm off to do some crime fighting. I'll see you later.
How did Green Lantern, the original guy, not the original, you know what I mean?
Hal Jordan.
How did he come back from being evil?
Oh, it turned out he wasn't really evil. It was a space bug.
Right. His ear, to go in his ear?
It might have gone in his ear, yeah. But so when he became evil, he took the name Parallax. So he took all the Green Lantern. He took all the Green Lantern.
Is that the first Parallax?
Yes.
Really?
So he took all the Green Lantern.
Big face.
Oh, in the movie.
In the movie, it's a...
Okay, so so this is pre the movie.
Yes.
Basically, he turned into... He had all the Green Lantern energy, so he's sort of omnipotent.
Mm.
And then he was like, I'm going off to space. And then he wanted to eventually use his powers to bring Coast City back. But then it turned out, you know, all the ends justify the means, and he was too evil, and blah blah blah.
Yes,
and you know, it was kind of, I think it was initially meant to be okay. Well, we're done with Hal Jordan, and we want the new guy to be the new. But people didn't really like Kyle Rayner initially, and I think they were like, well, people like Hal Jordan, let's bring Hal Jordan back. So what can we do? Let's say he wasn't evil, and he wasn't driven mad. It was a space bug,
yeah,
or parallax.
Cool.
which is yellow. It's a yellow space bug. That's why Green Lantern rings don't work against yellow. Yeah, because
wait,
of parallax.
Didn't that work prior? Was that a thing prior to that though?
Yes, it was, but they retconned it.
Yeah, great, cool. This is all good.
It's good stuff, work. Right? It's comic books. Okay. You know what I mean?
I think I've got one more here.
I'm ready to hear about it.
But of course, if you have any more, Mason, just yell them at me.
Okay.
The death of Jason Todd.
Yeah.
I think I remember when we talked about in this past that I thought they were going to kill him anyway. Like they were just going to do it regardless.
Oh, yeah,
But apparently the vote, so you'd write in.
And no, you'd call in.
Call in, sorry. And you got, they got like 10,500 votes and there was a 72 vote margin for death of.
Right.
And
So for people who don't know, Jason Todd was the second Robin. So Dick Grayson
stole the wheels off the Batmobile.
Yeah, Dick Grayson was the one, the original classic Robin. He's the one in the TV series. He's Chris O'Donnell, obviously, in the Batman movies.
You all know that, though. You know Chris O'Donnell.
And then he moved on, and then he was replaced by Jason Todd, who was less of a goody-two-shoes and kind of like a more rebellious
More of a goody-poo-shoes.
Thank you. And people didn't like him as much.
Because he was different.
But not even that different, to be honest.
No.
Like, his origin originally was exactly the same.
Mm.
He was a circus acrobat whose parents were killed.
Wow. How did they come up with that?
I don't know. But then when Crisis on Infinite Earths happened, which we mentioned earlier.
Yes.
They changed his origin. So he was like a street
kid. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, because people didn't like him, they were like, well, we'll make this story called A Death in the Family, in which at the end, there'll be a sort of a cliffhanger. Does he live or does he die? Call this number to determine whether he will live or die or not. And in the trade paperback, the one I have for Death in the Family, there's like a little editorial note at the front. And whoever was the editor involved in that said, I have two copies of the next issue in my drawer, one in which he lives and one in which he dies.
Mm.
And then he had to go with the one in which he dies. But I've never seen the other one, so I don't know if that really exists.
So did he say he had it or did he show?
No, he doesn't show. It's in text form. He's just like, yeah, I had two copies in the drawer. And I'm like, did you? Did you, though?
Well, he said he did.
Yeah,
you're asking me. I don't know. Did he?
That's true.
Do you think he did?
It seems weird that if it did exist, we haven't seen it at all. Like, surely it'd be in...
be worth a lot.
It'd be in the trade at this point. Like, it'd be in the new version. They'd be like, here's the issue when he lives.
Or at
skip
least,
to this
like,
version if you want a happy ending.
It'd be going to it and be like, look what I have.
That's true. Yes.
So, you know.
I bought this desk from DC many years ago.
In it.
But of course, Jason Todd didn't stay dead because nobody does.
But that also.
He stayed dead for a really long time.
He did.
More than most people
Yeah,
do.
That's true. Up until Red Hood.
Yeah.
Which is a good story. Yeah. So I think, again, I don't have a problem with killing Jason Todd. I just think it was a controversial thing at the time. Mm-hmm. But I think the Red Hood story that spun off with it and then that character and how it's informed, like, other. Like, I think the animated movie is like. Maybe my favorite animated movie. And he's, of course, in the Arkham Knight game.
That's true.
Because, spoiler alert,
he's the Arkham Knight. Yeah. It might have been that point also when they were kind of trying phasing out. But like, it was a point where they're like, well, Batman should be a loner.
Yeah.
And he's more kind of like, you know, because remember in the movie he's a loner, you know, in the 89 he's a loner. So we got and Robin's too colorful and blah, blah, blah. So they, you know, they turfed him, blew him up.
And good, probably. Or bad.
Yeah.
Whatever you think. Mm-hmm. Do you think Batman has too many bat families?
I like his bat families. Mm.
But every now and then he's like, it's just me. I don't want any help from anybody.
Yeah.
But then there's like 80 people be like, what are you paying us for then?
You're paying us a lot of money.
Well, there's obviously more.
Oh my God,
but
so
that's
more.
My list that I've got.
You've got a good list.
Thank you. Mm. If you've got any, tweet at us.
Tweet us your favorite controversial comic book decision. If you do have that copy of Death in the Family where Jason Todd lives, yeah, send it to us. There's only one copy in the world. Send it to us.
Yeah, we want it.
We want it.
I want it specifically.
Okay, James wants it.
Yeah. Okay, do you know what it's time for?
Is it time for what we're reading?
What are we going to read?
Yes.
I'm doing the thing.
James, what have you been reading?
Well,
I can't think of a darn thing that I've been
reading. Well, I've got a couple of things.
Okay.
I was in Ballarat.
The new season of The Chef Show is up.
Yes, it is. I have not read that yet.
Yeah,
I haven't finished the first season, but I was in Ballarat for the weekend for a birthday.
So you were reading Ballarat Street Signs.
Well, I was outside of Ballarat and I didn't have any reception, so I couldn't access any internet, which turns out is still terrible. I thought maybe this is good for me, but I'm like, actually, you know what? I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Like cutting off one of my arms.
I did sit outside in the bush with a cup of tea and I went, yeah, this is all right for a minute, sure.
You're right.
But what am I going to watch when I go back inside?
Yeah, what am I going to do? Read these tea leaves?
Anyway,
what am I, Nostradamus?
I watched... local Win TV, which is Nine.
Yep.
And I watched Crocodile Dundee 2 because it was the only thing on that was tolerable.
Which one's Crocodile Dundee 2?
The one where he starts in New York, but then there's gangsters, he lures them to the outback and then beats them up.
Probably could have done that in America.
No, because he had all his outback shit out there.
Oh, good point.
What I love about
all his deadly traps.
The Crocodile Dundee movies are, they're such massive vanity projects for Paul Hogan.
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah.
The first one and second one, people hate the second one, but I think they're both about the same in terms of quality.
This is a real Jurassic World situation.
But the third one is atrocious, the one where he goes to Los Angeles whatever. But it's just, What do you say about Crocodile Dundee 2, Mason? You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah. <It's> Well, you should say more things about. What's the highlight? Is there an exact parallel to That's Not a Knife?
Does somebody
have a bigger knife?
The guy's like, what are your odds of getting out of here with that jacket? And he throws the knife and it goes into the guy's mohawk. And he's like, yeah, better than average.
I remember that.
But also,
What's better, Crocodile Dundee 2 or Reckless Kelly?
I haven't seen Reckless Kelly in 100 years.
Do people know about Yahoo Serious? There's your action item. Who in America remembers Yahoo Serious? What's he up to these days? I think he quit the business.
Because he did Mr. Accident in the early 2000s?
Yahoo Serious was this guy, and he created these weird, like...
parody characters?
Historical anachronism.
He's 66!
Wow. He created these weird historical anachronism movies. Young Einstein...
Yep.
Where he was like a guy from Tasmania who invented rock and roll.
Yep.
And then he went to an insane asylum.
Yep.
And he got
elected. Split an atom with a chisel and hammer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And invented rock and roll. And then he was Reckless Kelly, who was like a descendant of the original Ned Kelly.
Yep.
But again, he goes to L.A.
To be in movies.
Yeah.
Which is also a trash can on his head. Which is also the plot of Crocodile Dundee 3 was a stunt.
And then he was in Mr. Accident, which nobody's seen.
Yeah, which is in the year 2000. There you go. Wow. Yeah, so good on him, Reckless Kelly.
Anyway, I'm going to watch Reckless Kelly.
No, you're not.
That's not true. This week I watched...
Hugo Weaving's in it.
Is he?
He's the villain. He's the English villain.
Nice.
Because he sells Reckless Kelly's island to the Japanese and they try to tow it away or something.
Okay, right. Okay. Australian cinema, folks.
Yeah.
People wonder why the Australian entertainment industry is
dying.
It's
never been good.
No.
there's some gems in there.
Well, look, a couple of previews for upcoming Caravans of Garbage.
Mm.
I did watch Disney's Mulan this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm very interested to know what you think about that.
Oh, look, Disney's Mulan, I watched that. Mm-hmm. I watched a Star Trek, see if you can guess which one it is.
It's coming up.
And A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of A Quiet Place?
Still good. I mean, there's some
near the waterfall.
Well, exactly.
Mm.
Why didn't the government figure out they're vulnerable to sound?
Exactly.
I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But not now. There's no time.
Why didn't they make the whole house out of a black box?
Exactly.
Mm. Anyway, that's
makes
cool.
Makes you think. Oh, I'm probably going to read Machine Man 2020.
Oh, yeah, it's back.
Because it's the year 2020. Because Machine, you know, originally Machine Man, when he was a serious action Marvel character, he was teleported into the far-flung future of 2020. And he had some serious adventures, but now he's just a chainsaw-wielding lunatic.
He's mostly just trolling people on Twitter, actually.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
He was also in that Marvel Zombies one where he killed all the zombies.
Yeah. That's
that might be my favourite Marvel
Zombies.
Yeah,
right, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's basically an
issue where he just goes into the Marvel Zombies universe and kills everybody.
Yeah. Pretty good, so I'll probably read that.
Mm.
And I should also read Iron Man 2020, which I haven't read yet.
I also haven't read that.
Man, let's do it together.
Isn't it
page by page?
It's a different Tony
Stark. It's Arno Stark.
Yeah, that's
Arno
right. Stark, yeah. Yeah. Do I have to read all the other shit?
No, it'll be fine. Okay, there'll be a recap page.
Great.
Don't even worry about
it. Also, it's the first issue of Tom Taylor and Carl Moser's deceased Unkillables.
Oh.
So it's the villains who get the... It's Marvel Zombies, but DC Zombies.
Yes, exactly
and
right.
It's
yes.
set parallel to the other story, uh-huh. which just finished up, and it's focused on... a bunch of DC villains, and it's still good. It's a good comic.
Oh, there's a comic book called Tartarus that I was going to read this week, which I will don't know anything about it. I know it's sci-fi, and apparently it's really good.
Tartarus,
I think is what it's called.
I'll write that down.
Yeah, she should.
I like sci-fi comics. All right, then you know we have to do the letters then.
Let me just double check that.
Tartarus.
Or
like Fartarus.
All right, steady on, buddy. Come on, mate.
It's a god or something. Greek mythology god?
It might be.
An image comic.
Yes.
Oh, it's with a sci-fi drama of Breaking, but all the drama of Breaking Bad set in Mos Eisley.
Oh, okay then. Well, good on me for finding a great series to start.
I agree. How did you come up with that by yourself?
I probably didn't. I think I saw it on the Serious Issues Facebook group. So very good. That's probably why. Anyway, should we do another segment?
We should. What do you think it should be?
I think it should be letters.
I agree.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. We're going to hear right now, we're going to do letters.
This better be a very long comic that I just bought because it's $6.
Which one?
Tartarus.
Oh, you bought it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I just bought it.
Let me know what it's like.
Oh, well, I thought you were reading. No, I thought we were going to read it together.
All right, we'll read it together. We'll read it page by page.
Honestly, I don't mind how long it is. If it's good, I don't care.
Nice.
Yeah. Letters. It's letters.
And it's letters,
of
right?
Of course, if you do want to reach the show, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter.
Or WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com.
Also, I should have mentioned this before, but I'm trying to do more Patreon stuff. Patreon.com/MrSundayMovies if you want to contribute to topics and Caravan of Garbages, et cetera, and so forth.
Yeah.
What do you got? Or what have I got?
Well, look, we have a lot of opinions on Olive Garden. Mm. I cannot possibly go through all of them. We mentioned Olive Garden last week because we're unfamiliar with the franchise that is Olive Garden, but we got it ran the gamut. This is Sean Mackey. He says, Olive Garden is to Italian food as Taco Bell is to Mexican food. Nothing like the real thing, but great if you hate your body. Their breadsticks are lit. I've heard about that.
I think that's just then to get you filled up on bread.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
The sons of bitches.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check real quick to see how many emails we got about Olive Garden.
I know we got many a tweet. A lot of people are just like, it's not very good, but you can just eat it if you want to eat it.
We got 10 emails.
That's pretty good.
And a lot of tweets.
Yeah. Yes.
This is Ian Hornbaker. Just ate at Olive Garden. ... It sucks. so he says, right after my wife and I left Olive Garden, I put on your podcast and the segment where you talked about Sonic and Olive Garden came on. I've been to Olive Garden on numerous occasions. I know I'm in the minority, but I dread whenever we go to Olive Garden. What we only went this time because my wife got a gift card.
I was going to say, why go? Yeah.
I guess it might be. We used to have probably the Sanity gift card. You know, society.
No one wants.
Yeah, like there's a certain every society has a certain gift thing.
Yeah.
That if you don't know anything about someone, you just go, here's this.
Yes.
And in Australia for a long time it was Sanity, which was a music shop. It was like overpriced and quite generic.
Yeah.
But you just buy somebody a Sanity voucher.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
And it was always enough to buy like one album.
Yeah. Mm. Or not, or slightly under what you need.
We only went this time because my wife got a gift card. It absolutely sucks. Even after the 25 gift card, we still spent way more than I would have on that meal. Don't waste your time.
No problem. Yeah. Wasn't gonna. But that's confirmed all my suspicions.
I've done the endless pasta on one occasion. I ended up eating 3 bowls. I was stuffed, but still didn't feel like I got my money's worth. So that's a...
If it's not good.
Yeah. That's because they fill you up on breadsticks before your meal.
I knew it. Sizzler do the same thing with their bread, their cheesy bread.
Yeah.
I got a friend who goes to, when he does the all-you-can-eat stuff, he works out exactly what the most expensive thing is, and he eats exclusively that amount of thing until it covers the cost of, like, how much he paid.
And the petrol to get there.
Yeah, and then he'll go and eat other things. I'm like, but don't you just want to eat the things that you like?
Mm.
Like, it's not like, it's a weird grift.
That is, This is from Derek. I think you mentioned this off air earlier. Paul Rudd's chubby hands.
Yeah, I saw that title. I didn't see the
After rewatching Endgame, I've realized how chubby Paul Rudd's hands are. And it is bothering me. I mean, look at that fat oven mitten of a hand. Anyway, do you guys have any hot tips regarding hand shrinking so I can harass him on Twitter about it? I don't think he's on Twitter.
No, he wouldn't be.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys who's not on social media. But look, anything to denigrate the too good Paul Rudd, you know what I mean?
He's got too much hands. I don't know about this.
Yeah. Maybe it's a certain angle.
Mm.
Look, I don't know.
Gonna have to check it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know Desmond Llewellyn from the James Bonding podcast, they're constantly referencing how huge and inflatable his hands
are.
Oh,
really?
In those movies.
Yeah.
It's a great podcast. Mm. I've got a tweet here from Papa
Kulak. Giuseppe? Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. What do you boys think about Spaceballs? Need a commentary. I've seen it once, and I thought it
loved
was
at the time.
Fine.
I had the novelization of Spaceballs.
Oh, I bet those jokes really translated.
I don't know. I've got no idea. I haven't seen it since I was 10, probably.
I saw it in like 97, so it was well after, and I'm like, I don't like.
It's got Rick Moranis in it.
I know.
It's coming back.
It's coming back, which is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. I think I also saw it after Independence Day, so I'm like, that's the president from Independence Day.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, and,
Miss Pullman's in it.
It's a good cast, and John Candy's in it. And mm-hmm. Yeah, there's good jokes in there, though, isn't there? I like the fact that they're filming it and then they're in the thing, they're in the and then the giant vacuum, whatever. Yeah,
combing the desert. It's probably all right. I remember. I don't know. Look, I have no idea. Maybe we could do it for a caravan.
Parody,
caravan of garbage.
Maybe, yeah. Parody films are very hit and miss, but I feel he's pretty good in general, I would say.
He's Mel Brooks.
Films. Yeah.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, do you agree?
Mel Brooks is pretty good. The master of the genre? Yeah, he's pretty good at it.
You agree with that? Yeah.
But I also feel like those do exist in that sort of Zucker Brothers era of comedy where it's like...
Totally.
Hey, we're combing the desert for those droids, and it cuts to the stormtroopers, and they've literally got a giant comb or whatever. And you're like, I get it. Like, it's...
I think like...
If you're in the frame of mind to enjoy that, it's going to be funny.
I think like your medical... hospital, whatever that show is, medical police. Oh, that kind of covers that kind of
for sure. Yeah,
stuff
yeah.
Now,
and
Angie Tribeca.
I was just thinking Angie Tribeca. Yeah, with what's her face?
Mm. Angie Tribeca.
Rashida Jones.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. Here's a question.
I'm ready.
It's from Jim Saxon. It just says, "Has The Last Jedi aged well?"
Yeah,
I think it's since the last one.
Yeah,
a lot of people, even who didn't like it, and this is probably a generalization, are like, "Well, I still don't like it, but at least it
it wasn't The Rise of Skywalker, right?" Uh huh.
Yeah. So I think it looks better in comparison. Yeah. But you know, a lot of people don't like it, and that's fine.
I feel like most people. I feel like most people have stopped talking about The Rise of Skywalker, but then occasionally, like in that sort of search tab in Twitter, like I'll check that, and I always scroll past, and there's like Star Wars. There's people, the Raylos, all these people constantly just, they're going to argue about this stuff for the rest of their lives.
Can't wait.
I say good on them.
I say good on them.
Have a good, fun hobby.
Passion.
That's what I say.
You got another email there?
Yeah, this is from Jordan.
Hello, Jordan.
I figure you guys have heard of it, but have you ever seen the 2005 Man-Thing telemovie or heard about the decision to change from its initial plans to be released in theaters to be released as a sci-fi original because of Marvel's poor financial performance and it being reportedly so bad that test audiences left before it was over? I didn't know about this at all. I've never heard of
it. I know what
this.
It is. I've never seen it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
can get it. It's out there.
I bet it is. Yeah. What an odd choice for 2005. I guess
it's whatever you got.
Yeah. This is pre Marvel Renaissance. This is pre Iron Man. So I guess they were like, we are really running thin on characters.
$30 million budget. That's decent. It's not nothing.
Yeah.
But it made $1.1 million.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh no.
It's an Australian American horror film.
Oh, who's in it? Richard Roxburgh?
No, but it's produced by Avi Arad.
Okay.
Because, you know.
Yeah, Marvel back in the day.
I don't know any of Rachel Taylor, there's a name I know. Jack Thompson.
Oh, Rachel
okay.
Taylor's in Jessica Jones.
Yes, she is. She's
Wildcat.
Wildcat, yeah.
Wildcat?
Yeah,
cat.
Sure.
One of the cats.
Alex O'Loughlin, I know him.
Personally?
No. Yeah, you know Jack Thompson, obviously.
Yeah, of course. He was in Broken Arrow.
And he was also in that porn magazine or whatever.
Playgirl. He was in Playgirl.
Or was it Cleo?
That porn magazine.
It was Cleo.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Cool. Great stuff. Yeah, we could probably look at that at some point.
Yeah.
We've got an endless list of things to go to.
That's true.
I've got one more here, or do I? No, I don't. That's it.
Oh, there you go.
Do you have any more?
No, I've got one more. This is from Helen Dryer.
Oh, no, I do have one more. Sorry.
Okay. This is You Are All the Goats.
Yay!
Hello, James and Mesa from Washington, D.C. Just wanted to email and say that I appreciate all the work you guys do with this podcast and with the Mr. Sunday Movies channel and all the outreach that you and Claire do. I nearly said outrage. We've got some outrage. But all the outreach that you and Claire do. And mostly the listeners.
I think that thing didn't go out this week as well. I think they're still sorting
it
out.
Oh, the chat, the Q&A.
Yeah,
okay. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Why we I mean them. Yeah. They'll figure it out.
Their problem. They said they could do it.
Yeah. she says, you all have no idea how helpful your podcast is to me and everything I've gone through in the past year. Well, you're welcome.
Sorry to hear that. And thank you.
Yeah, I hope you're doing great now, so that's good.
Yeah.
I listen to your podcast in the morning before class and work. I work part-time at an animal hospital as a tech and an assistant.
Cool.
There you go. Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
I think it's a very kind email.
Yeah, I think so too.
Mason, this is a question directed for both of us from Jan the War Boy on Twitter.
It says, sincerely, Helena. It says Helen in the top. Don't know what to believe.
What do we do?
Yeah, I don't know.
What do we do? I'll just edit it out.
Just quit the podcast. We'll just quit the podcast.
Leave it at that. Jan the War Boy says, do you guys play any fighting games? Tekken got brought up last week and I got excited. Cheers. Big ears. Yeah, I played a little bit of Tekken. I bought one of the Tekken games on PSP? Which one? Who's to say? Whatever one was on that.
Probably Tekken Tag Tournament.
Yes, I remember Tekken from the 90s. I'm like, oh my God, 3D environments and whatever.
Uh-huh.
Do a big up kick and then you bring your foot down or whatever.
Look, I've played most of the fighting game franchises, but I'm sure I'm many games behind. You know, I started on Street Fighter 2.
What's your jam though? What's the one that you kind of mesh with? Because I feel like I've never got the rhythm of Street Fighter.
Okay, yeah. Look, I think ultimately when I still played video games in arcades, my favorite franchise was probably the Marvel Capcom
game. I've seen you play that. Yeah,
because there was X-Men versus Street Fighter and Marvel versus Capcom, and then but they've gotten I don't know they've sort of moved away from like the Street Fighter Alpha cartoony version to this weird rotoscoped kind of thing, and I don't like
cel shaded kind of
and I don't know I
do you prefer like the 2D sprites
okay but
you
I don't
still
know
still get a bit of, they still make games like that
I mean, and they released Marvel versus Capcom Infinite a couple of years ago, which I think was it's always great to see new, especially Marvel characters in those games. You just be like, oh, Doctor Strange, what's he all about in this? Oh, lasers. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know?
I got the Marvel Ultimate Capcom something, whatever, on Vita. Played that for a little bit. And there's a lot of big lasers in this.
Oh, boy.
But I don't think I didn't play it that much. But I more gel with the Mortal Kombat Injustice style.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Games. Yeah.
I also really like Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3.
I remember that one.
Really, very specifically good at that game.
But not the new one.
I like the new one. No, not the new one where it's also in a
RPG
3D RPG. There was one before that, which I quite liked. But that one in particular, you remember that I played like that to death.
Yes.
We broke a couple of controllers.
I broke two of your controllers, I think, with that game, yeah.
You owe me money.
I know.
That's a great game.
And they're vintage now. This is going to be really difficult. I like the Mortal Kombat games as well, but I have not played 11 yet. I'm waiting
for the definitive
Platinum Edition Game of the Year Edition, whatever.
And then I'll get it.
I don't want to download extra stuff. Just give me the Terminator on a disc. Mm. It's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, I believe, is as they say.
Yes. Yes. The Who's show. They? Oh.
Us. That's what we say. Bring us to the end of the show.
James.
Yeah.
I'm going to say some things for the end of the show.
No.
Oh, my God. He pushed it so willy-nilly. You didn't know what that was going to do, and
could
you pushed it.
Could have been the self-destruct button. It could have been an eject button where we all get shot out of the room.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, most of this shit does on this thing.
I know. Oh, that's not surprising.
Hey. That one makes music.
Wow. Did you program that in, or was that?
Of course I didn't. There's a laugh track on here somewhere. Anyway, yeah.
That's good.
What do you got?
That was good because it was like the audience were laughing at the idea there'd be a laugh track. It's quite fun.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening and subscribing and telling a friend and giving us a nice review if you have a chance. James, you have a nice review in there somewhere?
Got a couple here. We mentioned last week that like you got a friend to shout out or insult.
We'll do it.
This is from Handsome Fox with Sweet Lips, which seems to become a recurring thing. There was one on Reddit. Did you see that picture of that Handsome Fox?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Uh-huh. My goodness.
Yes.
So it says, review about a great friend. Blurk Fart Plus is a real friend of mine, and I mean a real life one. Great guy. Real great. And this is from Flips McGee, who says, real good stuff needs more flips. These are both five
well,
star.
Well, he would say that, wouldn't he? But I say, Flips McGee, why do you want the competition?
Well, this is actually directed specifically at you. Okay. By the way, you can just do this in-app. It really helps the show. Yeah. Been listening for years. Not sure how these guys have been doing basically the same thing for years and still making me laugh out loud. Yeah. Fair point. Only thing to make it better is if Meso could do a flip. Brackets. I'm pretty sure he can't.
All right, here we go. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Bearing in mind, I'm going to do a really funny flip. So when I achieve the flip, everybody in the room's going to laugh.
Okay, cool.
Hup!
It's cheers, Meso.
Oh, it's still
it went beyond laughter.
Wow.
There you go.
Good bit.
Is it?
No.
What else is happening? Review the show, please.
Oh, yes. If you could, that would be very nice. If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod at Gmail, at Facebook, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can sign up to our newsletter from the great Rob Collings.
Oh,
he's
goodness.
The Weekly Planet on Twitter. On Twitter, I'm Wikipedia Brown, and on Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau. We've been putting up some photos from the live show. It's been good fun time. You're Mr. Sunday Movies on all the media platforms.
Yeah.
Are you not? Yes. You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group if you want to have some fun discussions about all kinds of pop culture stuff.
The Weekly Planet Reddit.
You want to see all kinds of scoops
and
footage and set photos and all sorts of stuff. They show up there first.
You can
we have some fun chats about them.
We do. Nice. We certainly do.
If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. If you want to chuck in a buck, we would appreciate that very much.
Give us $1.
If you would like, you can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description.
And
buy some graphic novels.
What do you want to buy? All the crap things we mentioned.
All the crap we talked about. All the crap. You're like, I want to read about that crap series.
It's in the shape of a big box of crap.
Exactly. That's right. In the new 50, it's got 52 stamped in it. You know, just squelched in it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. We've got some T-shirts on TeePublic.
We do.
That's...
How much money do we get? Not much, probably.
Who knows? Just search for the Weekly Planet.
Yeah.
We do have our USB cassettes.
Yes.
However, the gentleman responsible is I believe having
in
some
jail.
Surgery recently is so there might be some delay there.
Yes.
So,
but if you order him, he'll make him.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless he dies.
But I say best of luck to him.
Yeah,
I don't
me
think
too.
He will.
I don't think he's gonna die.
I'm
saying if they don't get to you, it's because he's dead.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. Mm. But anyway, best of luck to him. I'm sure he's gonna pull through. I think he's gonna be great.
Me too.
Yes.
Mm.
And that's the whole show, I reckon.
Next week, Invisible Man. Guess who didn't get a chance to interview Lee Whannell this time?
Either
Thinks
of
he's
us?
Too good for the for this podcast now.
Oh, wow. I think I can tell you who the new bloody Invisible Man is to us. It's Lee Whannell.
Correct.
And he's not there in the room.
Yeah.
He gets stuffed as far as I'm concerned.
That being said,
yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this genuinely.
Yeah, me too.
And don't watch any of the trailers if you haven't.
That's right. Just watch The Invisible Man, the movie.
Yeah. So we'll be back to talk the new Dark Universe.
Oh, this is it for sure.
Kicking off.
100%.
And of course, we're doing The Third Mummy. That's wrapping up this week, isn't it?
Just give us a low budget Dark Universe. Give it like
that's the Invisible Man.
Maybe this is what it is. Well, how about low budget Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Just a guy in a Frankenstein mask and he's a murderer.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's just a bunch of murderers hanging out.
And when Robert De Niro was Frankenstein, his monster. Because, you know, you got to say that.
No?
Kenneth Branagh did a version in the early 90s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Remember when Jack Nicholson was the Wolfman?
Barely.
Barely, yeah, I know. Anyway, that's the show, I reckon.
That's the show.
Grab that chair, you guys. We'll see you next week.
And goodbye.
Or maybe we won't see you next week.
I'm Invisible Man.
Invisible Man.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, my God. Thanks for coming in, guys. We really appreciate
right.
it. It's always nice to have a live audience.
Yeah, no, get out.
Yeah. Fuck off, seriously.
Yeah, get out of here. Come on. I mean, one round of applause would be...
But get out. Get the
just
fuck out of here.
Seriously, get out of our phones.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.